This is Spectrum.
Alternative myth, homeopathy, secret society, hypnosis, the paranormal, alternative energy, UFO abduction, the weird, the wild, and the wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. I'm Scott Jordan, here with my co-host, Tom Theophanis, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Scott. I'm pretty good.
You're tired, but...
Yeah, okay. Busy, man.
Busy.
Yeah, yes. Well... Today's guest is Princess Kaoru Nakamaru, who is the granddaughter of the Meiji Emperor. Princess Kaoru Nakamaru spent her early childhood in the Forbidden City in China. While at Columbia University and in graduate school, she furthered her research into international politics and since 1970, as a journalist, has interviewed kings and presidents, prime ministers and business people from many countries, and has given speeches, written books, and appeared on television as a commentator on international political affairs. In 1973, she was acclaimed in the U.S. magazine Newsweek as the world's number one interviewer. And the Washington Post described her as one of those rare women in the world with outstanding international sensitivity. Later, she was the producer, director, and interviewer of her own Japan-U.S. talk show, for which she traveled to war-torn areas around the world and carried out positive discussion with the heads of states of those countries. Among those were Colonel Gaddafi of Libya and then-President of Iraq, Saddam Hussein, figures that were considered hostile by the West. Nakamaru even covered the front lines during the Iran-Iraq War from 1980 to 88, and video taken of it was shown to President Hussein, who suggested that the war immediately be halted. The images of her broadcast on TV pressing President Hussein with the question, "Why is war being continued?" and asking Colonel Gaddafi, "Are you really a terrorist?" drew strong reactions. From those experiences, she extended her energy into personal diplomacy, serving as a go-between among warring countries using her own funds. In response to her personal diplomacy, Kaoru established the International Affairs Institute for World Peace in New York in 1985. And in 1991, the Following the Sun Association was organized for people aspiring towards peace. Let's welcome Princess Kaoru Nakamaru. Hello and welcome, Princess Kaoru Nakamaru. I'm glad to have you on the show.
How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be.
I think what we'll do is what we usually do is I'm gonna ask you about your past, your history, and we'll work up to today. So could you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in the spiritual aspects?
I had a spiritual experience in 1976 when I was invited to the United Arab Emirates and as a state guest. After I met King Zayed, Sheikh Zayed of United Arab Emirates, I suddenly felt like to have a prayer directly to the God, you know, creator of universe. And since I was the state guest, always the driver was with me, and with my secretary from Japan, he drove me to the Sea of Arabia, you know, this facing to Sea of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting down there was meditating form. And three things I was talking to myself: what is human being? Why are we here on this planet? What is our purpose and the mission of the life? And while I was meditating, suddenly the huge lightning in front of me, as if spreading ocean-like. And the next moment, on the right side, as if spreading to the mountain of Oman. And then around me, thunder was falling down, but somehow I was not afraid. I said to myself or to God, if I have any mission in my life, God will save me. And if I don't have any mission in my life is entirely in your hand. So totally, I was dedicated myself in the hand of Creator. And then I felt very tight, two diamond ring, you know, one straight, one more than 2 carat or something, and then the diamond watch. I took off 3 of them aside. Then I look up, and that moment, straight from the universe, like, you know, a huge lightning just go through my crown chakra all the way to down, you know, struck through me. Then my heart was completely gold, like, then my whole body was just going up and up, up and up, and my third eyes just completely opened, like diamond, you know, lay like. So I was not dead. Instead, I felt so wonderful, as if I am going up to the heaven or something. And the next moment, the rain started, you know, so hard. And my secretary, 20 meters away, but she said, we can't stay any longer, let's go. So I took this 3 diamond in my bag and I ran to the car. And all the way through, still this thunder was falling. And once I was in the car and the car started moving, all this thunder and bright light and the rain completely stopped, as if nothing happened. Then from my bottom of my heart, I felt, oh, that 3 diamond is missing. So I opened my purse, and it was missing completely. And that time, the voice came out from my bottom of my heart saying, you kept saying oneness of the world and oneness of the human spirit. Now it is shining in your heart. You don't need any more that diamond or glittering thing. So I thought it was something of the message, and ever since after that I learned that light coming through was God gave me because I totally surrendered myself in their hand, so that that light is the same as Moses and Aaron received. So very soon you will start finding all kinds of different things, but don't be afraid. So that's how my spiritual experience started. And after that, you know the theory, reincarnation, that people are, you know, continuously born.
Yeah, you we've had guests on talking about that.
Yeah, so I started remembering several thousand years back on this earth, who I was or what I was doing, what nationality and so forth, and the kind of languages that I've never learned, like 3,500 years Greek at the time of Apollo and Zeus, and time of Cleopatra, 2,000 years of Egyptian language, and 2,500 years ago of Indian when the Buddha was born, that all these things, you know, that spirit came in and start communicating that kind of language. In Japan, that time, there was a person who could understand such a thing. He passed away already. But so I learned that time, Creator God is the light and the love of energy. And part of that we human being has in our heart, you know, it's like a deep inside of the soul, you know, we have it. That means, regardless of any religion or ideology, we are all son and daughter of the Creator, that vertical line. Then horizontal line is we never die. Our soul, spirit, continuously living, you know. That is horizontal line. Mm-hmm. So that cross part, mm-hmm. if we put in our heart, whatever happens in the future, we can always have that in our heart. Anytime we can go back, we have the place to go back anytime, and we never die. You see, that really gave me the strength that I'm never afraid of anything. So that's how I start visiting 186 countries throughout the world, and most of the VIP I met, including some
VIPs,
of
the yes. world leaders. Mm-hmm. World leaders, Muammar right. Gaddafi, mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
I mean, you've had talks with hundreds of leaders.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And which is interesting because Western journalists can't interview these people. They mm-hmm. they can't. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you had interviews with all of these people.
Right.
And was this the time of when you did the TV show mm-hmm. Following the Sun, or was it previous to that that led to the TV show?
Well, previous to that was I was a speech engagement all over Japan. I published political science, kind of books. When I had the ceremony, I mean the reception for the publication, 100 country, all this ambassador came, and the Japanese prime minister, on almost 1,000 people came, and that's how people start saying maybe you can start TV shows. That's
okay.
How this Following the Sun started. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the people you were interviewing are, I mean, Tom, you've seen some information about Mrs. Nakamaru that.
Yep.
The sort of people that she's talked to, I'm very interested in. What were you talking to them about? Like world affairs? Were you talking then about the stuff you talk about now? Or was that, did you just keep it to political critique?
You see, the reason why I started that kind of interview series is, if we see the movie Charlie Chaplin's in Kinshasa or Beijing or New York or London, when the sad part comes, people cry. When the joyous part comes, people can laugh, you see. That means, regardless of color or religious difference or ideological difference, heart is the same, humanity is the same. So that's how I thought to bring out each person's humanity side, even that person himself are not realized, but I can just try to dig into that and communicate heart-to-heart type of interview, dialogue. That's how I started. So each person, immediately they become very natural and childlike, they can just honestly open their heart and they talk very smoothly, you see. So from politics to the his private life, even including, yeah.
Wow. Tom, do you have a question?
Yeah, I want to hear more about the type of conversations that you might have had with some of the political leaders, and like Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein.
Gaddafi was very open. He asked me, how can we be a good relation with Japan? And so I told him, well, Japan is a democratic country and the second in the economic thing. So you cannot just send a revolutionary ambassador. At least you should send someone who can speak Japanese and who can understand the economic side of trade, or if you really want to have a good relationship. And 3 days later, someone came to me. He said, thank you very much, Princess. I said, what is it? And he said, our leader appointed me as ambassador to Japan. Fluent in Japanese. Mm-hmm. And so I said, what happened to the ambassador he sent 1 week ago, revolutionary person? And he said, he's coming back 1 week later, and I'm going to Japan 1 week later. So, you know, just like that, he listened to me, all this advice, it was very interesting. Each person is like that, you see.
Yeah. Was it Gaddafi that you asked about the perception of him funding terrorists, or was that somebody else?
Oh, yes, of course. I said, did you do something about the British case? The woman police was, shot and dead. And he said, we never did anything like that. We searched inside the, building and everything. Nothing happened. And he was saying, I said very strongly, he said very straight. And he was as if a small boy talking to mother, hiding his eyes, looking down, and he said like that. Then also I said, why are you always try to be leader in the Middle East and saying Jewish people go, to they should just get into the water or something like that, and you should think about more of the worldly, world peace. That's what it's necessary. You should change priority of your value, the thinking. And he was listening very modest way. So I felt he's the kind of person, if you open up your heart, he can open up your heart. But someone just attack him very hard, he can attack back, you see. That is the type of person I felt,
Okay. Definitely, yeah. A lot of the people you've talked to. I'm curious about Muhammad Ali. He's an icon in the West. What was that like talking to him?
Yes, I met him in the Plaza Hotel when he was staying, and he said that's the day for the first time he's telling me that he's quitting, the boxing. He said, then how do you feel? And he said, well, for a long time I wanted to eat this and that, and from today on, since I announced to you, I can eat pasta and all kinds of things. And he was also talking about Vietnam War. He was asked to go to Vietnam War, so he felt, why should I go when they are not killing my family or anything? Why should I go and killing them? And I turned down that. As a result, 5 years, I think he was taken off the title, and he was putting into the army, and some kind of probation he under that. Then he came back. He just championship. I think he's a spiritually, he's a very, very strong person, and he really believes in God. It's a good impression I had, yes.
It's very interesting, very interesting.
Yes, I also wanted to ask, back in the 70s, when you were meeting all these leaders, what was your agenda, or was it strictly as a person in the news?
Well, the whole reason I started that was, the world is using the way of the power. If you don't listen to us, we can just bomb you, you know. And well, here and there, they're kind. Or we can unite the world through the monetary system, through the money matter. I couldn't see way or power can solve anything in the world. Opposite to that is through the spiritual renaissance, through this network of the light. That's the only way to create a better world. So in order to do that, all these VIP people who are influential in the world, if I can meet each of them and start bringing out some of the human side, some of the harmonious feeling, that's the one way of, you know, working toward the spiritual renaissance. That's how I started, you see.
So when you had that spiritual awakening, it was after that that you had this opportunity to do this type of work.
Yes, yes. This, you see, no, exactly. That's how, you see, I started TV series 1972, and the spiritual experience I had 1976. And this, and the okay. Amazing thing is after, you see, I had this spiritual experience, I met the King Hussein. Of course, I met 1972 already, but he immediately said to me, what did it happen to you? Something very spiritually, something happened to you because your vibration is very fine, you know, very subtle and shining vibration. Let me know what happened, you know. I was amazed. So I said, well, this is a very personal thing. I don't think even if I talk to you, you may not understand. Then King Hussein said, didn't you arrive for 3 days ago straight from New York about 5 o'clock? I said, why? And he said, oh, maybe about time Princess will come from Japan. And that time, your picture is just in front of me. Stick. Then that time he said he learned. The plane came about 5 o'clock in the evening, arriving straight from New York to Jordan. You know, so he starts saying something spiritual side. You see, so that's how I said. I just explained to you what experience I had. I just communicated to him. You know, he was very close almost several times I met him. Each time I meet him, he's becoming more modest, you know, more modest. And he just asked me, I tried to work very hard, Middle East peace. So I said, well, about Middle East case and this Palestinian issue and also issue of Jerusalem, these two things, you have to be involved, you know. Without you, it's not really solved. So why don't you just get someone from the Palestine people, and you better go to the King, Crown Prince Fahad. He was still Crown Prince then. And so 2 days later, his assistant came to me, said, thank you very much, Princess. King Hussein became very, very strong and courageous. He just invited someone from the Palestine people into the palace. He started working, and 2 weeks later, he will go with a special plane to Crown Prince Fahad. They will discuss, and he's very... spiritually, he's very high and strong now. So that's very interesting, you see. So he granted me the highest decoration in Jordan because he felt I know so much. It's a very deep side. I understand the international politics. So each time, it was very good meeting until the last minute.
There's a video on YouTube that started floating around the first week of January, and you're talking about 2012, and you're talking about different aspects of what's going to happen. In your opinion, what's going to happen at the end of 2012? Could you talk a little bit about that?
You know, at the moment, this on this planet Earth, people killing each other, and even the war between the countries. But finally, I think the law of the universe decided that this Earth were going into from third dimension into this fifth dimension, and that's the time, 2012, December 21st in your part of the world. And when they pass through the place called Nuru in Photon Belt, the magnetic power is very strong. So all this electricity is out. And not only that, we cannot see the sun or moon or stars, you see. And then complete darkness, 3 nights, 3 days. So mass media is not mentioning anything of that, but I think people, at least if we can start preparing for that, it will help. Without knowing, suddenly it happened. Can you imagine the chaotic situation of that? And that's the time so-called hidden government people or whoever wants to start war or for the money matter or something. All these people are not really going through this fifth dimension. So after 2013, this planet is becoming a very, very harmonious, wonderful place with a good-hearted people, you know. So we will see that only now, 11 months later, isn't it? This is a fantastic opportunity, first time since the Earth started. So this is a very, very precious moment we are living now.
Okay, and just to be clear, this information you got from somebody called Quentin, if I'm saying that correctly, and this is a non-human, an alien that you've spoken to, and have you ever met him or them personally?
First, from the Maya calendar, you know, it stopped. So as an inspiration, I got that information in me. Then Quentin, who is the top person of the Federation of Universe, he, several years ago, he contacted me spiritually, and then he confirmed what my inspiration is correct. Then he said, now you spiritually, you are ready, and we will protect you wherever you go, and we can meet in Canada. So immediately after that, I went to Canada, and some of the village Indian people decide. And one morning, beautiful lake, nobody was there, about 7 o'clock in the morning with my husband. I went there, I was meditating. I thought this is the kind of place I would meet him. He showed up, and blonde hair, blue eyes, and sort of Norwegian, you know, like it looked like white person.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he appeared to me. And now, whatever he is, if I call him, he will immediately come in, and he will come inside, and he can talk to me.
It's telepathic communication. But in this in this case, what you're talking about is he physically appeared.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Physically, but, like walked right. and over and sat sure. down and, yes, and had a yes. communication.
Yes, yes.
And your but and in, your husband in, was there.
Yes, in order to do that very, he, for him, it took a lot of energy. So he said, from next time, I will just, as a telepathy, or I just will come in to you and talk to you. You know, that's how we communicate now.
Telepathically. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he is the one that confirmed that there is some sort of event after December 2012. And you mentioned 3 days of darkness. Do you get any information on what specifically could cause 3 days of darkness?
Well, 3 days darkness, I think it's a, you can imagine, you just have to be prepared, you know, for that. We've been using electricity, everything, even for the cooking, or warming up and all this. So without knowing that, I think so many people may just faint or, I don't know, chaotic situation. And he said, what are you doing? I mean, following the sun, you know, association I have, I publish books and I hold seminar speeches for the spiritual awakening, you know. He said, it is very important. Please continue that. And then also, I just... with gathering people, I will give the prayer in Japanese and try to land and heaven, you know, connect that, and I will build the pillar of the light each place I go after prayer. I just bring down that pillar of light. And he said, that is very important, you're doing this. And the people, you know, if we are 50 people, they see that golden light coming down, and each one's face, they become gold, you see. So, and also gold powder coming out from their hand and all that. So even physically, we experience that. He said it's very important, people later, you know, they see where you built all this gold pillar, and throughout Japan, if you start doing that, this is very, very important thing, and that will help to this, you know, 2012, this kind of event also influenced by this kind of thing. And eventually, you've been invited all over the world. And whatever it's possible, you could start bringing down the pillar of the golden light, you know. So that's one of the mission you carry.
I think
through,
I do said. Remember reading that on one of your websites, that I read a blurb there on the conferences, and you had some pictures there of what you're describing as gold powder appearing on people's hands.
Mm-hmm,
that's
mm-hmm.
that's the case, right? That's what we're talking about?
Yes, okay. right.
So what causes the 3 days of darkness? Does it have any connection to the sun? Is it a dimensional shift?
Yes. From third dimension to fifth dimension, this Earth is going into, you see. So after that, the new civilization start on this planet. You know?
Okay. So is it a split Earth or an Earth ascension? In other words, if it's a split Earth, then there'll be like one energetic aspect of Earth will shift into another dimension, and the people who aren't ready for that shift will stay in the old 3D dimension of Earth, but the people who are ready will shift to the fifth dimension of Earth. Earth itself will shift to another dimension.
Yes, Earth itself will shift. You know, ascension as itself. So the kind of people who has a black heart or evil, you know, minded people, they cannot breathe easily, and eventually they have to be born to the kind of planet, present Earth, like, you know, the killing and the war and all this violence, they will be reborn to that kind of star.
So dark-hearted, negative, and maybe the power elite structure. Obviously, every banker on the planet is gone for sure. Politicians, the vast majority. We're talking about the elite structure, many of which you've talked to. You know,
without knowing.
I mean, you talked to Rockefeller.
Of course.
Yeah.
Rothschild.
And Rockefeller, was it Rockefeller or David Rothschild Lockefeller. Or both or both of them?
Both of them.
And both Rothschild of them.
In England, yes.
What's your impression? Do you think that are they part of the group that's the elite group that's working on the scene, behind the scenes?
Yeah, after, you know, I start learning about the hidden government thing, I checked, you know, I brought out my dialogue with David Rockefeller. I've seen it again. And he said he's talking about central bank. The mission of central bank is very important, he was talking about. So actually, through this central bank, you know, like in Japan, Bank of Japan, or in England, Bank of England, you see, all this FRB in America, all this through this banking system, he said the world to be united. You know, he's talking about that, so it's very
interesting. He's talking about the one world, the one world government, not the one world you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about it from a spiritual point of view,
right,
where every human is essentially the same, and there's no better, no worse. What they're talking about is a pyramidal structure, of them on the top, and us, everybody else below them.
Right.
And you're not talking about that.
Mm-hmm. So that I realized afterwards, you know. So after I finding out, and the Rothschild is also, you know, he's the seventh generation of this Jewish people in England. He has the title of Lord Rothschild. But when I asked him, what is the most momentous moment for you? And he just, suddenly he just changed his almost glittering eyes, like, you know, he starts saying, when Nazis, you know, Hitler, if he comes into London, I thought I would kill myself. I had a little pill inside of my pocket. But after, when I heard he's commit suicide, immediately I ran to the toilet, and then I threw that pill. I don't need this anymore.
Pill,
So I was amazed. What is Jewish people? Is that the religion or is that the race? You know, he's already Englishman, seventh generation. You see, but that kind of strong reaction I never expected. Since then, I start thinking, what is Jewish means? Jewish people. You know, that's the feeling I. For the first time, after I met Rothschild,
Right, and you know that he was definitely one of the elite, and you know the Bilderbergers. We talk about this sort of stuff.
Oh yes,
and I know you mentioned in your video about underground bases. You must have become aware of that. Is that something Quentin also told you about? Was and why build so many underground bases?
Oh yeah, this you see, this people, these people know what would happen 2012. So they just start building the city underneath the underground. You know, many places: America, Holland, Switzerland, Australia, Norway, and all this. For them to be saved, you know, they keep 5 years worth of the stock of the food and water, and but it doesn't help. If something happened, they are gone too. Same, you know, whatever prepare things like that, it doesn't help at all, I know. And also he said, the kind of people who are conducting because of the money and also they will all perish out, you see.
That's very interesting that you would say it that way. That they're not safe in their holes.
Mm-hmm.
When this event occurs, is there going to be chaos in the sense of other than the fact that we're not going to be able to have power? But are people going to die because of the way the shift is going to occur?
Well, now we know that it will happen 3 days. But can you imagine? Most of the people don't know anything about this. You see, if suddenly they cannot use electricity, nothing, complete dark 3 days and 3 nights, you can imagine people may faint or, all kinds of things may happen, you see. So this is something the Quentin was saying. Please spread, let the people know, as much as possible. It's important, they say.
So they're not saying anything about earthquakes, nothing cataclysmic, loss of life, anything like, tornadoes, earthquakes, solar eruptions. They're not saying anything about a cataclysmic.
Well, you see, what they say is, in universe, including anyone, what would happen to this time, to this earth at that time, nobody know exactly, but he said, so long as physically and spiritually, if we're cleansing, complete cleansing is done, he said, this is something I don't want to talk about, but in case the earth is a very difficult place to live and suffer, we are ready. Last 25 years, we've been practicing to for the people cleanse the heart. There's an aura on the each one's head, you see, like a circled light. And we can pick them up, any amount of people, millions of people, 10 million or, whatever number is, we are ready to pick these people up in the sky, in the UFO. Right now, we are covering this Earth, 1 million UFO already waiting and preparing, he said. That's the way he said.
Okay. So mm-hmm. Is that what you were thinking, Tommy, or about the cataclysmic aspect? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, and that sort of thing, yeah. Okay. But did they give us specific dates on this thing, or is this general terms?
2012, December 21st, in your part of the world, 3 days, 3 nights. In Japan, December 22nd on, 2 nights, 3 nights, and 3 days. Okay?
Okay, that's very clear. They're very, very clear and very mm-hmm. precise. So are these beings that you talk about, are they going to help and guide through this transition you're talking about?
Yes, if this earth is a very difficult place to live in, that's the only time they can help. They can, how would you say, like a Star Wars, if you see that, red beam or something, and, each person is just bring up in the UFO. In that ship, you see, then they can wait until the earth is calmed down. But I don't think it's going to happen, anything like that. Of course, the star Neville is coming very close, but I think something is already arranged in the pyramid, something, way back, like 6,500 years ago, already when the pyramid was built, it was set something, and the kind of people on this earth start finding out, and they adjusted to something. So when the pyramid, Giza, Khufu's, King of Khufu's pyramid, the big one in Egypt, when mm-hmm. that start working, I think our earth is not so much affected from the tail of the Neville star, the star called the Neville always coming into that area, you see, that time. But it cannot be influenced. So I think we can calmly going into fifth dimension without so much of the problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, that's a very clear answer. So your opinion is that it'll be a clear transition from another dimensional, and that it's a single Earth moving, not sort of a split.
Mm-hmm. No, no. Mm-hmm.
There won't be like a 3D Earth and a 5D Earth.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not like an individual. Mm-hmm. Does it have any? Is this sort of an effect on a DNA level, or is it goes beyond the physical body?
Once we go into this fifth dimension, I understand only up to the cell part. Human cell can be changed, you see. And the DNA level is too complicated. Quentin said he couldn't tell at this moment, you know. But at least our human cell to be changed, could be changed. That means maybe sickness will be recovered, you know. After that, very little sickness, and we all start becoming young, maybe.
I'll go for that, Tom. Are you into that? I got my vote on that. I mean, my wife has a personal theory, and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
The way she looks at it, I think she feels about living on Earth, that everybody should get to about the age of 25, 27, and just stop.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to grow old and get tired and all that. You just get to 25 and you stop, and you can limit the lifespan to like 90 years, but from 25 to 90, you're still 25. Mm-hmm. And I like that theory. I think it's a good I think we should go with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people getting younger and younger, and maybe they could be asked what you would like to, you know, if you like to be changed the DNA level, because you see, I said to Quentin, we human being has two DNA, and how many do you have? He said 16, you see. So he can change his shape, or he can just come from any part of the universe. Very quickly he just moved. Maybe each person to be asked how much you want to live. Would you like to live another 1,000 year or 3,000 year? And
how old is if we've got the double helix, and you're saying he's got 16. Wow. How old is he? Did he tell you, years?
He said 35,000 years old.
And he's not bored yet?
No, he was very young looking.
Okay.
So I said, are you not going to die or reincarnation? It doesn't happen to you? He said, unless I am killed, I won't die, he said, you see. So that's the state his condition is. So can you imagine there's a one person in Canada, he was working for BBC, Oscar Margot. Maybe you can look up him. Have you heard?
I'm familiar with Oscar Margot.
Oh, good. I met him several years ago in Japan. He came and we had luncheon together. So this Oscar Margot, he just go to universe every month, you see, last 25 years. And he met Quentin and all this, and he wrote some book. So I met him. So he said to me, he was asked, do you want to live long, and, you know, like 1,000 years or 10,000 years? He said, no. This time I live as a human being on this earth. I just go back as a human being, you know. So he didn't want to be changed, you see. And so maybe when we go to this new dimension, each person maybe asked, would you like to live long or what, you know. That's what happened, maybe.
So more free will is available.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that this gentleman you're talking to has met Quentin, and he told you that?
Yes, he travels through universe all over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, you're aware of who she's talking about? Maybe you can fill us in. Who is he?
Well, Oscar Mangosi?
Yeah.
Well, back, I guess back in the early 70s, Oscar had written a book about his travels to nearby planets and some of the spiritual situations that he had encountered and such.
Then he said recently, he said the men in black really exist. So he said it's very difficult, you know, men in black chasing after him, so he had to change the telephone number and place to live and this, and so it's very difficult where he is now. Maybe you can look him up.
Oh, Tom,
you're in Canada.
Tom was and probably still is the president of MUFON Ontario. So while you were president of MUFON Ontario, MUFON is Mutual UFO Network, but in this case, Tom's group split away from the international group, and it's just MUFON Ontario. But maybe you could tell us, have you met him? Have you had a chance to talk to him, Tom?
No, I've never met Oscar, but I'm very aware of him and his story and, you know, a number of individuals that I know have met him.
And what's your opinion?
Like I said, I never met the gentleman, so I...
Okay. You're aware of his reports. Okay.
Oh, yes. And I may actually have his book.
Oh, yes, you probably do. Tom's got warehouses full of books.
Yeah, so inside he's talking about the Quentin. So that's the Quentin I've been communicating, I've been meeting, you see.
So you both had, and you had already talked to Quentin by this point?
Yes, and also Oscar Magocci I dined together. Dungeon, you know, so.
Very interesting, very interesting. Okay, I'm going to ask you another question about UFOs, considering we're both UFO guys. If the world leaders that you've met through years and the elites that you've met, have you ever brought up the subject of UFOs? And what have they admitted to you publicly or privately? I would think it's more than likely going to be privately, because my opinion is they wouldn't say anything publicly.
No, I think at that time, UFO thing is not, still I haven't seen UFO myself, or I haven't met Oscar Magocci or Quentin. So I didn't talk directly with them. But now I think this coming May, from 9 to 15, I'll be in Rome, in Italy. On the 13th, from 3 o'clock on, I will invite top of the person from Pentagon, and they will come by a special plane, like Air Force One or something. Then I may invite from North Korea all this new leader and many other world heads, you know, political people. And that time, this time, I will talk about UFO things, all kinds of things, you see. How this world to be more harmonious, you know, just the kind of symposium I hold and in Rome and
complete
the
security.
Yes, I am the leader, yes, of
okay.
that.
Okay, and you've got a lot of people. Now, the North Korean leader you're talking about is Kim Jong-un, who took over from his father, Kim Jong-il. Did you ever meet Kim Jong-il?
I haven't. I was first invited after I had a symposium gathering 100 country people in New York, and I made a speech in the United Nations and all. And that time, Kim Il-sung sent envoy to me in New York office. He said, this is amazing. Next time, please have this kind of symposium in my country. And that's how I was invited to North Korea for the first time, you see. Then while I was there, Kim Il-sung passed away, you know. That was the time all the journalists was on the south, and nobody was allowed to go into North Korea. So all the media, Japanese media people, head of the news bureau section, NHK, you know, everyone came to me, please, you know, have an exclusive interview with Kim Il-sung, North Korea, because nobody could go in. And you've been meeting all the heads of the states throughout the world. Maybe you could. So I contacted to the envoy who had sent by Kim Il-sung, 1989. I still had the name card. So 1994, I called him and to ask to arrange. And 10 days later, I was invited. And while I was there, he passed away suddenly. So that time, all the people, you know, from all the media, just to calling in while I was staying in this hotel, and they all thought it was a coup d'etat. So I had to take the microphone announcing to the entire world in front of the people, you know, millions of people crying mm-hmm. under that statue, you see. So I hold the microphone. I said, the entire nation is mourning with sadness, and so that calmed down, they say, CBS people, after I came back to Japan, your announcement calmed down the world. Otherwise, South Korea thought it was coup d'etat any moment that they come in from North, so military people.
So they were making assumptions that something had gone on in North Korea, that you squash that assumption and said, no, this is what's really happening. Okay, it's very interesting that you're going to have this discussion in Rome, and I was wondering if you think that Kim Jong-un, the current leader, would come personally, or would he send a representative?
Well, he will come with his uncle. That means top two people would join me. They agreed to come, you see. So it's very interesting. And besides, from America, I would invite from the Pentagon, the top people, and they agreed they will come with Air Force One. So this will be a quite interesting symposium, and many other important people coming together.
Since you're in Rome, do you think mm-hmm. that any of the Vatican, the Vatican people will be there?
Oh yes, of course, yes.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Have they been invited?
Yes. Sure.
Wow.
They are.
And yeah. Since you're hosting mm-hmm. the event. Mm-hmm. They have to listen to you.
Oh, of course, sure.
They don't have a yes. choice. They have to listen.
Yes, right.
I think
right.
what will be very interesting, and this would be a personal request on my part, would be if you're going to have a bunch of leaders there and they are going to listen to what you have to say, maybe ask them privately or publicly would be better, if they would release the information they have on UFOs and aliens and crash disks and the whole kit and caboodle. If you can't get it publicly, then privately, you know, you could ask them, hey, what's the deal? You guys know about this, obviously. Why aren't you telling the rest of the people about it? And what's your opinion? Do you think that the world leaders know about this subject? And are they hiding
it? So, yeah, some of them may not know. Maybe North Korean people don't know. But I can talk to them. And obviously, Pentagon people, they have lots of material, you know. So I think this is about time to make it open, you see. No longer they can hide. So many UFOs all over Japan now appearing, you know, even big city like Shinjuku and Shibuya in Tokyo, you know, dozens of UFO just showing up around the Mount Fuji. And and whatever I have symposium, seminar, always Quentin's UFO comes. You have picture now I sent to you.
And that'll be put up on the website. Mm-hmm. You sent me some pictures. And you said they hide in the clouds.
Yeah, always covering, but showing up, you see, they couldn't hide completely. So one of them, very close, was the bottom part is showing.
It's showing in the picture, yeah. Mm-hmm. I looked at the picture, I'll put it up. I mean, it's definitely very interesting. And you're saying that more and more UFOs are showing up in Japan. And
in Mexico.
Do you think the Japanese people are accepting of this?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
They don't have a problem with it?
No problem. I published many books on that too, you see. Mm. Yeah.
You see, Tom, we've talked about this before, about different countries and their attitude towards UFOs that differs from the Western sort of very secretive, closed opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of countries. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, now the major television, there's some kind of host talking about and inviting people on UFO issue, you know. So in Japan, there's a full of books now. There's nothing secret
about
anymore.
UFOs? No, mm-hmm. You don't think so? No?
Mm, no secret. The people are accepting, yes.
Okay, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish the West could have the same approach, wouldn't it, Tom? It'd make our work a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Well, sure.
It does seem that... go ahead, Tom.
I'm sorry. When you were in Canada, when you met Quentin, what part of Canada were you in?
Indian, you know, like American Indian people in Canada, there are lots of Indian people, and that kind of village. And near there was Japanese, you know, at the time of war, they were brought into that area. I forgot the name of that village, but beautiful area, quiet, you know.
Mm. Do you know it was the West Coast or the East Coast of Canada? West Coast being British Columbia,
Vancouver.
On the left side from Japan to look up, how do you say that left side? You know, just
what would that be, Tom?
Well, that would be BC.
That would be down the west coast. That would be the west coast.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it, what was the weather like out there? Was it nice or was it winter or was it summer?
Oh, it's a pleasant springtime or something like that. Yes. Okay. Beautiful weather. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of Indian people. Yeah.
Indian people, yes, because it was a conference with the Indian people. I was invited, and also Prince Alfred from Liechtenstein and Princess Raphael were together. So we are all there. Then we together traveled to Mexico, you see. Then we went up to this Pyramid of the Sun. And that time Quentin also was near. Two of us, I talked with my husband, Quentin, that's here, but it didn't really physically show up, you see. We just felt very near, you see. Mm-hmm.
You made a statement earlier about that the elites cannot escape their fate, or they can't, you know, hide underground. Can you elaborate on that? Are you saying that because of what's happening, that the underground bases are pointless?
You see, if your heart is black, you know, black, I mean evil feeling, example is when harmonized people go to the energy spot or spiritual power spot, you know, usually people breathe in very deeply and feeling fantastic way or happiness and all that. But the black-hearted people are going to this kind of power spot. They feel, you know, they cannot breathe. It's, what is this, you know? It's like a heart breathing in and out, you see. That's the kind of feeling I think it will happen, you know. So fifth dimension, you cannot go through. They have to go, they have to be born to the other star, just like a star now, planet Earth. Here, still people are killing each other, conducting war and mass, you know, killing and all this. So that kind of star, planet, they will be born again. That means that it will be delayed. A spiritual growth will be delayed in millions of years, you see. It could happen.
Okay, so in other words, what you're saying is anybody who's got that sort of heaviness of heart or uncaring for other people or very greedy or all of these sort of negative things, that they would go to another another place. They would go to another or another planet. And, and that is at the level we're at now, you know, basically killing and murdering everybody and not caring. Okay, that's a good answer, definitely. How about, I have an interesting question for you. Have you ever talked to Quentin about the monetary system, about money, about the exchange of money for services and the accumulation of money with greed and all of that? So, I mean, does he talk about that? Does his race have a monetary system? Do they deal in money? Does money exist?
Well, what I understand is after 2013, money is not so important. And also this greedy system of the capitalism, you know, it's like they're dealing, like using computer casino, like, you know. This will end, you see, before 2013. So I think money matter is not so important after 2013. And I think monetary system, inside the planet, there's a high civilization exists. They don't have the greedy politician and things like that. They don't exist. Only 12 counselors, you see, very highly moral people. You know, they guide people, almost 25 million people inside the planet, you see. And the other planet, much more advanced, Andromeda and all this, at least scientific system is 10,000 more advanced from this Earth. And spiritually, they are advanced 50,000 years more advanced. You see, that's the kind of ideal way, you see. Our planet now, we have atomic bombs. 60 times we can destroy this planet. That much we have. You know, all this scientific thing is so advanced, accumulated, but spiritually we are very behind. You see, this is crazy. So we will be entirely new era, new civilization will start 2013. Okay?
Okay, so no monetary system. And you mentioned on the middle of the Earth there's a civilization with 25 million people. I also remember in another one of your videos, you talked about meeting or communicating with a librarian.
Communicating.
Mikos.
Yes.
Mikos, I yeah. guess. Mikos. Yes. And what did yes. he? What did he explain to you? What did? Tell me about this librarian, and you've spoken to. And what did he? What information has he shared with you?
Well, he obviously did come in from the other stars, you know, not from this Earth planet, but his age is 480,000 years old, you see. Can you imagine? And his height is about more than 2 meters. Once he appeared walking around Tokyo, and my group of people, some people, they said two mother and daughter said they met him. They were sitting in the department, and this Mikos came, you know. So I asked Mikos, "Have you met him?" And then he said, "Well, that two people could see with the eyes of a spirit, you know." So I showed up, but you. Nobody really see me walking around in Shibuya, he said. But anyway, he said...
Shibuya?
Shibuya City, yeah. That's the city in Tokyo. Name. So anyway, he said once 2013, after your group of people, following the Sang group, you've been working very much of the spiritually cultivating and so forth. When we... decide to invite you people into this library, we can show you the screen, big screen. If you push down your name button, your past incarnation, you know, film, you can see it. Well, okay. I know myself what I was before this and that. So he said that much, all the data, you know, the each person's incarnation, past life, is everything is recorded, and that is in the data bank in the universe, you see. So they can show it to you. They say it's very interesting.
So this is like the term, the Akashic Records.
Yes, right.
Is what you're talking mm-hmm. about here. Mm-hmm. And he's a librarian. He's over 400,000 years old. And he's not bored. He obviously keeps busy.
No, he look about 30-something. He look young, you see. Yeah.
And that's just what... That's his job? That's what he does?
Yes, he's a librarian. He's the head of the library, you know. The library is very, very active. And yes, this beautiful
library. So you're saying that in 2013 people would be able to see him?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you see, at the moment, he said it's too dangerous for them to come out on this surface. Military people just, you know, attack them or kill them. So until the surface of this planet is very calmed down and clearing up, then either they invite us in or they will come out. They are now under discussion, they say.
No. Okay, they're under discussion whether okay. Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on the surface of the Earth and mm-hmm. whether this spiritual event at the end of December 21st, 2012,
mm-hmm.
actually happens.
Yes,
and you're sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not because I don't have any inside information about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got inside, from what you're saying, you've got inside information.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that, so I can't categorically say. I mean, I've said on the show before, you know, mm-hmm. I thought that the year 2012 was the year between 2011 and 2013. Tom's heard mm-hmm. me say it, because mm-hmm. I just don't know.
Well, at least you can prepare about the 3 days things, you see, but just a little thing to prepare, that's all. And you can see, you can, very soon, in 11 months, you face to that. So this is fantastic period, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
Fantastic time, yeah.
It is a fantastic time. And yeah. And Tom said in several interviews before, he said that there's something happening. He's never clearly defined what it is because, Tom, I don't know whether you know or not, but you've said, you know, there's something, you just don't know what.
My prediction, you want to hear?
Well, I know in previous shows you said something's happening, you just don't know what it is. But yeah, sure, you want to go for it.
My prediction is the Americans, the Iranians, and the Israelis are going to go at it.
Oh, you mean short term? Short term. What's your opinion on that?
Sri Rabi from Israel last April 20th, they came to Japan and they asked to have dialogue with me from 21st of April. So 3 days we are in the hotel and we discussed, we talked to each other. Then three of them said this way, you know, they memorized completely the Old Testament, and they said in the Old Testament, it's indicated 3 days, three nights, complete darkness. And that is the time volcano exploded, this and that. And then all these countries throughout the world, including America, and some, they will attack Israel, they said, you know, and... but not the Japan or China, India, they don't attack them, but other, all this entire world attacking them. But in the end, they will be saved. So I said, well, just like Tom said, now the situation about Iran and Israel, maybe 2012, December, in Japan, 22nd, on 3 days, three night, complete darkness. Maybe that's the time, I said. And he said, they said, well, in the Old Testament, date is not clearly stated, but that could happen that way, you see. If Israel attack or each other, Iran or America or whoever, if something happened, it is kind of a third world war or Israel to be attacked or... Mm-hmm. That could happen too, you see.
Yeah, now, well, I mean, you're mm-hmm. You've been a political critic for decades now. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on the tensions with Iran right now?
Well, I think just now American military ship is there and they're giving pressure, you know, to European countries including, and so... Right. It's a very tense situation, you know, just Israel certainly is a side with America and the European side. So this is a, you know, very tense situation. Any moment, anything could happen, even by mistake. You see, such a very, I think this several months, it's going to be more and more very much of tense, yes.
Do you think there's going to be more aggression, more mm-hmm. war? Tom, you obviously feel that the tensions between America and Iran are ramping up to the point where something's going to happen. Now, do you specifically know what's going to happen? Do you have an opinion about whether there's going to be a war out of this or is it just going to be an act of aggression?
I
a blockade or something.
Most likely there will be an escalation and some type of fighting will occur. It most likely will come from Israel against Iran, with the Americans backing Israel and probably the Chinese backing Iran because of the interest that is involved. But, if that does happen, we're going to have some big problems to deal with.
Yeah.
On a worldwide scale. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, they're nuclear, right? I mean, we're talking about nuclear problems, right?
Well, I mean, that's a very distinct possibility.
Hmm.
So if that does occur, you know, it's gonna cause upheaval on a worldwide scale, for sure.
Mm.
You know, and of course the religious folks will take that as a omen again, as to being the end of the world, and that might fit into the 2012 idea.
The self. So what you're talking about is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they make, because of the fear-based, if it's fear-based thinking, it's going to go down that road. If it's scarcity or fear-based, it's going to go down the road, that sort of road. Sure. And there's money to be made in war, right?
Definitely.
On both, you know, you give both sides of the arms, there's a lot of money to be made in war. So, I mean, I think this is part of the plan. What do you think, Princess?
Well, it's definitely.
Yeah, when the money situation is very tight, always war could happen. You see, that's the way until now they've been conducted, First World War, Second World War. So after this situation, after money matter is so tight, and I think America even don't have enough money to pay the bill to the soldiers.
that's the problem. They're running out of this the money, which was, you know, part of my question about whether Quinton's existence, they have monetary exchange, but I guess your answer was no, they don't use money at all.
Well, money matter would be not important after 2013, you see. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, when the money is very short, always these hidden government people start wars, you see. That's the one way of solving, they believe in, but this is this doesn't help the people at all. But anyway, for ordinary people, important thing is the food shortage would come very quickly, and water and food. So whoever listening to this radio, they should start saving some food, you know.
Right.
Some stock of the food and water they should prepare. Very suddenly it happened, you see, so because of the weather matter, you know,
right.
All kinds of reason.
All kinds of reason coming.
Yeah, that's coming very... Yeah.
I have a question. Since you're in Japan, I was going to ask you about Fukushima. You were there in Japan when the Fukushima plant exploded. And what's your opinion now? I've talked to a couple people who are, you know, informed about the Fukushima, and they say even today that it's still very quite dangerous. And leaking the plutonium. And what's your opinion? I know you said you told me once that you moved.
First of all, I want to ask you, that kind of tsunami, did it come to your side, to the west coast of America or Canada? Very little, not none, right?
No, it just right into Japan, yeah.
So that means, it is the fact. It's very hard for me to talk, but you'll be very surprised. But the American did it, you know. 8 atomic bomb they planted, and they just exploded. So Donald Reagan, the ship was there, together with 20 other ship. 3 days after that happened, they were near. They were doing that.
So you're saying that they were observing. Yeah, you know what? You can talk about that all you want. I'm Canadian. It don't bother me at all. You say American, knock yourself out. I'm Canadian. I'm cool with that. So specifically,
through some people in Japan, I told this is done by American people, so tell the Pentagon, you know, U.S.-Japan security, you know, plan it. Why Pentagon did it? Pentagon is controlled by the hidden government people. I know it, but at least tell them so. I told some Japanese, and they talked to Pentagon people. Pentagon, some 2-3 generals came to Japan, and they checked, and they said, yeah, it is true. You know, maybe America was so short of the money, they wanted to occupy Japan again. You see, they planted some near Tokyo, four corner of the Mount Fuji and all that, but it was unsuccessful. Mount Fuji was saved, Tokyo was saved. So just Fukushima, so suddenly they changed the attitude. They said friendship tie or something, they helped. But this is crazy. I mean,
the tsunami itself was caused by elements within the secret government.
Yeah.
And the secret government, of course, is worldwide, but
yes,
specifically
yes,
but at this point.
They occupy Pentagon, too, you see, American
of course.
Military. And the secret government, deep inside, I send the questions, you know, very sick one. And after Fukushima, I said to them, I added the question, did you do this too, you know, and they came back with a very sick answer saying, yes, we did. Japan is the country of God. You know, we want to crush them. And so I published, it's all the kind of language, Illuminati, you know, from deep of the Illuminati, people I asked, they come back with the question, and they even showed the picture of Harp, you know, and also some American president like Nixon and Reagan, much before the American president, they were having meeting in with the Illuminati top people.
Bilderberg,
in the West
yeah.
Coast. Yeah, West Coast, very sort of hidden place, you know. And they said, American president, unless Illuminati 33, you know, they cannot be president, including Obama. They are just, we just manipulate him, you know.
In other words, book, yeah, what you're
only
saying
in
is
Japanese, I published that book. Yeah, I published the book only in Japanese, you see, that kind of book, only one in the world, you see, they never... Americans or your people never even see the inside of that kind of document. They came back with Italian language, some Greek, some Latin. Very in the depths, they start talking about, you see.
And this was a report given to you by some generals?
No, from Illuminati top people in Italy, yeah.
In Italy, okay,
yes.
So Illuminati top people, and they didn't admit to this causing the tsunami, did they?
Yeah, they admit, yes.
They admit. Well, why
would
they admit?
We did it because they control
the world. They control the world. What are you going to do about it? Sort of thing.
Yeah.
So the arrogance.
Yes.
Of there's nothing you can do about it anyway.
Yeah.
We did it. Suck it up, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's very interesting because, it was a very... Fukushima is still, you know... I mean, don't they think that these sorts of things affect the whole planet, not just Japan?
Always. I think the Australian government announced the earthquake of the Christchurch, and also Japan, they are done by this, this man-made, how to say, it's not a natural one. Always you see fish, you know, like all these huge fish, they die, you know, 50, or at the time of Christchurch, 100 of them. Dead body was on the shore, sea faces.
Yeah, like so, the whales, the seals.
Whales, that happened. And in Japan, that happened to 55 whales. Dead body was washed up, you see. So inside you know, 10 kilometers each, they planted 8 bombs like that, and they exploded. And 3 days later, Clinton, you know, he came to Japan and took $50 billion worth of the money he took from Japanese Prime Minister. It's amazing. And that Prime Minister Khan, after going back to this office, he cried very hard, I heard, you know. This is a crazy thing, but that will end.
So that was sort of
2013, yes.
That was sort of give us money or we'll do it again?
Yeah, that's what...
give us $50 billion or we'll do it again.
Yes, yes.
And he was... that the elites, they got $50 million out of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's amazing.
And
I'd love to hear. I'd love to see that book translated into English. Seriously.
Confirmed by the Pentagon people too, and because I'm not quiet, I just said it's crazy. U.S. Japan has a security, you know, things. Why do they do it? At least some of the good general should know. You see, it's not always the bad people only. You know, some are good people too. So we called in a couple good generals, and. They checked all these things, and they kicked out 6 CIA people at the American embassy.
The American embassy in Japan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they targeted some people and got rid of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that helped. You said you're not a shy person. I don't think anybody would accuse you of being shy or not willing to speak your mind. Yeah, so you have no difficulty. But you were telling me privately that you moved from where the where you were.
Oh, always.
Just after the explosion of Fukushima, you moved
to Hiroshima. Yes,
to Hiroshima.
March 11th, that happened in Fukushima. On the 20th and 21st, I had to give speech in Nagoya, next day to Hiroshima. So after I went to Hiroshima, and then I was meditating, then quickly inspiration told me, move here. So quickly I decided from Tokyo, move my office, my place to Hiroshima. So now I'm staying at Hiroshima. Very, very quick decision. I always move through the inspiration, you see, so...
Right. Yeah. So if you get an inspiration, you follow it immediately. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. That's great. So the efforts to contain Fukushima now, how do you think that's going? Do you think that it's coming along nicely, or are you still worried about it?
Well, it's not completely finished, you know. It will take over 30 years to dig in the whole thing anyway. So we cannot say everything is finished, you know, completely. So
right.
It's still the process going down and coming down.
Yeah. So I hope nothing like that happens again, because that was... Fukushima was just a horrible event, and it really focused a lot of media attention on Japan. And there's a lot of, you know, of course, with the alternative media, which I am part of, there's a lot of discussion about what caused the tsunami in the first place, and if it was just a natural occurrence, and, you know, it targeted Japan, so.
Yeah, if it's a natural one, that huge tsunami will go into the west coast of America or Canada. But nothing happened. That means it was a man-made tsunami, you know, just a tsunami and the earthquake and everything. And besides, targeted Japan.
Yeah, and there was a lot of, not just that, there was also a lot of liquefaction. The ground moving and water mm-hmm. coming up from the ground and flooding areas.
Ah, yes. Yes.
There was a lot of that happening as mm-hmm. well. I'm sure you were close mm-hmm. enough to witness some of that.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been horrible. I can't imagine living in Tokyo when that happened and what that was like for you. I can't imagine.
So even about this issue, you know, I talked to Quentin. Quentin, do you know this tsunami and everything, that earthquake? It was done by this American ship and American people, and horrible, you know, this hidden government people. And he said, yes, it is true. But so I said that they're not going to this fifth dimension 2012. They're going to leave this earth. And he said, definitely, they cannot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, doing an act like that, which is just a mm-hmm. continuation of the sort of thing that thinking like population reduction, mm-hmm. stuff like this, I'm sure you're aware of.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you're aware of the population reduction.
I know.
And all of that, the Georgia Guidestones that says that the, you know, 500 million is all, it should be the amount of people.
Mm.
And this is the just sort of crazy, whacked out thinking that
yes.
the elites have,
mm-hmm.
that because of technology, because mm-hmm. where technology is now, they don't need as many people to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the technology will serve them. So need to wipe out like 99% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have another question. Did you ever ask any of your contacts about the creation of humans? Did humans get seeded on Earth, or was there a manipulation of the human genome? Are humans a created species?
Well, humans first came by UFO from the other planet, you see, to here. Then I think our planet six times already sort of destroyed completely, each time atomic bomb, you know, atomic war, energy war, or things like. This is the seventh time. At the edge of the seventh time we are in. Now, I think finally, if we could have more successfully spiritual renaissance, we will be safely go up to the fifth dimension, and all these evil people will be gone to the other planet, will be born, you know, other planet. So during this course, you see some kind of star, like a Nibel maybe, came, and they manipulated some of the genetic system, but all these things will be solved after 2013. We will be given very, very strong energy through our body, and our conscience will be wide open, and our wisdom and all these things start flowing out. So I think all this big, difficult, dirty religious group will just disappear. We human beings become, maybe many people can just start using telepathic power, you see.
Right. And of course, mm-hmm. there's really no, mm-hmm. You can lie to anybody, but you can't lie to yourself. If you
right.
have telepathy, mm-hmm. you see, mm-hmm. you can't lie to anybody, and you can't lie to yourself. So,
right.
you know, all these sort of back-end manipulations aren't possible at that point. I mean, it was just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
You were mentioning earlier that you remembered all of your, a lot of your past lives, and that you could speak the languages of those past
mm-hmm.
lives. Do you ever remember any past lives not on Earth?
Ah, yes, in the staff Pleiades, you know, this, I was the head of Pleiades star, and this time to save this Earth, I came down, you see, so many other places, many other stars. The oldest I remember is the 2 billion years ago, we came from UFO to this area, Wakayama. There's a huge stone, and aiming that stone, we landed. And I could remember the name of that person, but that star is already disappeared. Now it doesn't exist.
So that was a different planet that you remember landing on that planet.
Right, yes.
Okay.
And that spirit, you know, it keep going, living, you see. So after I took the picture, same place, one place that picture is taken, then I asked that spirit come into me, and we took the picture. It's entirely different. So much energy, light was floating out of me, you know, mm-hmm. after that spirit came in. Very, very strange fantastic picture.
That's the spirit of your previous life billions of years ago that you're talking about. Not an outside spirit. This is your own your own persona came into. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
People can take that two different ways. One would be possession, the other one would be something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got to avoid the possession part. Very
for one human being, you have a physical ancestor, that is your mother, father, grandparents, and so on. Then at the same time, you have a spiritual ancestor. That is the reincarnation thing, you see. Previously, you were born to this place, that place, other planet. This accumulation is your spiritual ancestor, you see. You have both ancestors. Hello?
Right. So you would have ancestors from other lives,
mm-hmm.
like your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your mm-hmm. wife, your husband.
That's a physical ancestor, yes.
Physical ancestors mm-hmm. that have now... obviously went on to other bodies and other lives, but you still have that connection because you've spent time with them, whether it's 2 billion years ago or, 3 centuries ago.
Yeah.
You still have a connection with them.
Yes, of course.
I remember you telling a story
mm-hmm.
about when your husband died
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. you've seen his spirit leave his body.
Yes. The last minute I was... to his side, I was having a prayer, the last minute prayer to him, and when his breathing stopped, he came out of from the crown chakra. He came out, that spirit came out, and from the ceiling in the room, he said that he could see myself, all the doctors and family. He wanted to come in and talk, but all the doctors are there, so he stopped. So I said, how did you go back to the other world? He said, through the tube, like, you know, he just very...
So through the tunnel of...
Tunnel, yes. I said, who is there to welcome you? He said his mother and father was welcoming him. And he said, it's very, very important. Family is a very important thing. And immediately he started working, you see. He was very honest, very straight person. He was a Japanese actor, producer, director, but he just went up and then... He immediately started talking. It was so sudden thing, but he said, always I was praying to God that when I go back to the other world, immediately, very instantly to pull me up, you know, not lying in bed years or in the car.
Right.
Yeah,
so you wanted to go quickly.
So that's how he said every day I was playing, and immediately he started worrying about me. It was so sudden, so I couldn't, I was not eating much. He was looking at me. He said, well, I worry about you. You better eat three times a day. His spiritual ancestors was Sanato Kumara, you know, very mm-hmm. important one. All these things, you see, in Europe. And I thought by chance I just met him and married. But we've been married, or we are close to each other. 2 billion years ago, he was the driver of the UFO. I was the leader of that, and we came down together to that place. I couldn't remember. So many, many times in our lifetime or in other planet too, we are very close to each other. I think it's an amazing thing.
You have the memory. And so if you have this telepathic ability, are you still in contact with him, or is he very busy?
Immediately when I call him, when I think of him, he come in to me. I said, he would talk, I'm here with you, you know, just like that. And many of my following the Sun Association group of people, very spiritually, very cultivated people. So many people, some of them, they can see things. So whenever we have a symposium, we have a seminar, and then we have a meal together, you know, they pour wine or anything, telling, this is to your husband, you know, he's here. Many people, they can see him always when we are together. You know, he's sitting next to me. So they're pouring wine and the beer and things like that. So
It's funny. Yeah. I know people that I've been in the pure psychology field for a long time. I know people that can hear,
mm-hmm.
but they cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people that can see mm-hmm. and hear.
You know,
spirits mm-hmm. or the mm-hmm. departed or whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
They can see, and there's other people that are, they say, one person I know says it's frustrating because mm-hmm. you hear mm-hmm. the voice very mm-hmm. clearly,
mm-hmm.
Like telepathy. You hear the voice, mm-hmm. but it's not like telepathy. It's like mm-hmm. someone's speaking, like you and me are speaking right now,
mm-hmm. yeah.
but it just mm-hmm. so happens that they're the only one that can hear it.
Right, right.
And they say it's somewhat frustrating because they can't see nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't see nothing. They can only hear.
Yeah.
So are you talking about your particular ability being a hearing or a hearing and a seeing?
Well, the spirit will come in and talk, you see.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
Telepathically.
Yeah, telepathically. So,
it's a hearing. You don't mm-hmm. see them standing mm-hmm. beside mm-hmm. you or nothing, right?
Yeah.
But other people that you're aware of in your association, mm-hmm. they can see and hear.
Yes, some of them, they are, yes. So he said that he met Quentin. So I'm surprised. I asked Quentin, did you see my husband? Where did you see? And Quentin said, well, your husband is such a beautiful heart he has. We start working together on this earth, you know, to collect the place here and there. And but your husband come often to your home, you know. That's the time we met on this earth. It's not the other world, he said. So
right,
that's how.
Course.
Yeah.
Of course, he knew him from previous. Because of your years of being in this, in these fields. Mm-hmm. You being in the spiritual field as well as being in the political field and being in the mm-hmm. in the political critic field, and starting your foundation,
yes,
all of these things you attribute mm-hmm. to inspiration,
right? Mm-hmm.
That you realize that these things are going to work,
right?
Because mm-hmm. everything you've done seems to have worked really well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we all can have inspiration, but if we're just, you know, mm-hmm. if the inspiration is just mm-hmm. a hope and a dream, mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, geez, it would be nice if this worked out, and it, and for some reason, it just doesn't work out. But from what you're telling me, what you're doing is working, and it is working out well. So you attribute these inspirations to your spiritual understanding.
Yes. I have nobody above me as a boss. I can, you know, just the inspiration I get, and my boss is a creator of the world, the God itself, I feel. So I, with my conviction, I think, you know, through spiritual renaissance, the world peace would come, and one world someday. You know, it may take a long, long time, but I think this is a very fascinating period, you know. I've been working many generation past life, you know, many times according to the theme. This is something very unique, and very soon, I think, the world changing and the new civilization will come. So after 2013, nobody, really, no hidden government exists. So this is a fantastic period. From then on, it's very easy. All the people, spiritual side is open up. So I think we are aiming fantastic period. I think from now on, people should ask to oneself what your soul wants to do. You know, what is the joyous thing your spirit will enjoy? That's the kind of thing you should just start asking and do it. If your spirit says, well, go out to the beautiful seashore and having lunch or something, and stay there and enjoy that nature, or go into the mountainside and in this quiet place surrounded by nature, you know, you just do it, you see. That's the way we should really living each day. And I think the kind of people listening to this radio is already harmonious person, spiritual person. So they should really wait the time, 2012, December 21st, with full of joyous feeling, you know.
Right.
Yeah, that's the
In
way.
Other words, don't come at it from a fear-based.
No, no.
You know, don't be afraid.
No, don't be afraid. You don't need, you know, once your spirit is harmonious, you don't have to worry anything. You'll be saved, whatever happened to you, okay?
And I think what's going on now is, I remember seeing a video of some of the Mayan elders basically explaining, this is not a time of fear, this isn't a time. The fear can be ramped up, but the fear puts you in a lower state.
Yeah.
So that's not where you want to be. And what you're saying, it rings with something that Joseph Campbell said, and that is follow your bliss. You should follow your bliss. Whatever your bliss is inside, what's crying to come out, you know, you should be doing this. Instead, you have to sort of, we have to do what we have to do. That's a sad saying to me. You have to do what you have to do.
Right.
Not what you want to do, what you have to do. So you have to get up, and you have to work 12-hour shifts, and you have to come home, and you're grumpy, and you because you had to work hard all day, and you bark at your wife, and, you know, all of these sorts of situations, or your husband, or whatever the case may be. But people aren't doing what their bliss is. You know, they want to write that book, but they just don't have time. There's things that they want to do, but they just don't have time. Because they're too busy slaving every day just to get by. And the elites are making that as prevalent and across the board as possible. You're either kept down by having to work so hard that you don't have any time, or you're being entertained
Mm-hmm.
You're being entertained by the TV, by the sports, by the, mm-hmm. all of these things, just to keep you either working or entertained.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have enough time when you're working or entertained to think about spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe from what you're saying, hopefully.
Yeah. That's what's said. Yes. That's the way. We can just wait with a foot of joy, you know, we can just wait. This is the first time since Earth planet started. You know, this is a fantastic event that we are facing too. We should be very thankful to universe, to ourselves, and all the things surrounding us, you know.
I totally agree. And on that note, I'm going to wish you adieu, and I'll talk to you again sometime. But I was very happy to talk to you, and I appreciate your time. Tom had to slip away because he had to go to work. Just in case you're wondering why he's not talking.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say for the both of us, thank you for your time and everything that you're doing. And I want a full report what happens in that meeting in Rome in May.
Oh, yes, that could be.
I want a full report. Yeah. I want to know what those guys have said about UFOs because, you know, we're both UFO guys, so that's important to us to know whether that information is coming out or not. I don't think that the elites would ever want to willingly release that information, but I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you very much. You're right.
And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Goodbye. And we'll talk to you guys next week.